All right, last week we had a look at the reasons that God saved us. And I'm going to review those. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, 18, 19, right in there. And this is, first of all, he saved us because he loves us. And he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And it's one of the things that motivates the Gideons is to get the word of God out. The word of God is what makes the difference. And the story, there's stories after stories explaining, telling the story how people whose lives are changed because they're just reading the Bible. So he saved us because he loved us. Secondly, he saved us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said he reconciled us to himself through Jesus, and then he gave us that ministry of reconciliation. So we are to take the same message where we were reconciled to people around us. I want you to think about that. That's fairly important. If we don't do it, there's a good chance it's not going to get done. I don't know if you noticed, but there's not a lot of churches that's focusing on evangelism. So that's something we need to be focused on. He saved us, gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Thirdly, he saved us and made us ambassadors of Jesus. An ambassador is a clear representation of somebody else. How are we doing when it comes to our representation of Jesus? Made the comment last week that sometimes you are the only Jesus that someone will ever see. What kind of Jesus do they see in you? You might say, well, I don't want to carry that burden. Sorry, if you're a Christian, you got to. You'll either have a Christian who's really excited about their faith or a Christian who, well, I won't explain that. So we need to really have a passion for who we are as Christians. So just what are we to do to represent Jesus? Jesus is very clear when he specifically spelled out what he had come to do. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Very, very clear. I mean, you can get into it and make a theological stand out. We won't waste our time with that. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And whenever he went back into heaven, he gave that responsibility to you and me to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, how do we do that? How do we seek and save that which is lost? Well, if you do a quick survey of the life of Jesus, you'll find him doing two things. First of all, he's looking for people in need. He'll meet that need, and he'll meet the need to win the opportunity to present his message. Now, did you notice the two? He met people's needs, then shared his message, because meeting a need will give you the opportunity to share your message. Sometimes we get that a little back to front. We want to share our message without meeting a need. I don't like your chances. So we've got to meet that need. So my guess is if we're going to accurately represent Jesus Christ, we need to be serving people. Shouldn't we? Everybody agree? If you're with me, shake your... Let me see your nose going up and down. All right, thank you. All right, we need to be serving people. The thing about it is, though, most of us are pretty good about serving people, meeting people's needs. We're pretty good about that. But once you do that, are you looking for an opportunity to share your faith? See, like I said, we're laying a good groundwork with meeting people's needs and helping them, but are we following that up with a
Hello.
All right.
1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
All right. That was a distraction. I just almost could have predicted it was going to happen. I mean, anytime we're talking about evangelism, it's going to happen. You know? So, all right. Everybody with me now?
All right. Let's back to where we were.
Most of us are pretty good about meeting people's needs, serving people. But how are we supposed to share our faith? How many's good with that? All right? Something to think about. Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, let me just lay a disclaimer here. I am well aware that when you mention the name of Jesus Christ in our culture, in any other way than a swear word, you're probably going to get a negative response. It's all right to curse the name of Jesus, it's accepted. But if you start promoting the name of Jesus, you're going to get attacked. I know that. It's going to happen. I mean, the Bible clearly says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. So you just might as well expect it. But it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. So I'm going to start with a well-worn phrase that should guide our evangelism. People could care less what you know until they know how much you care. They don't care if you're a PhD in soul winning. They could care less. Thank you, Matt.
You got me? Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, we're going now. Yeah, if I can get my glasses on. Like I said, people could care less your education, your training, your experiences. They could care less unless they know how much you care. So it's a fair bet that the only way that people are going to know how much you care is you're going to have to spend time with those people. Now, it is a rare time that you can just run into somebody off the street and lead them to Christ, okay? It is a rare time. If you do, somebody else before you has already laid the groundwork for you, and God has just blessed you with the opportunity to lead them to the Lord, but somebody has invested in their life, and you just get a chance to reap. It doesn't happen like that. If it seems that way, then God's been working maybe for years in that person's life through the scripture or whatever, and you just happen to be there at the right moment, all right? But it takes, generally it takes the Holy Spirit a long time to get somebody to where they want to trust Christ. But you know what? We can depend on the Holy Spirit to do His job. Everybody agree with that? Now let's put that on our foot. Can He depend on us to do our job? Not many heads going up and down. People could care less how much you know until they know how much you care. And sometimes you might have just enough time to drop a word and be gone. Let me explain. This happened to me last Thursday. I was out at Nobby's Beach, and Thursday morning I generally take Milo to the beach, and he has a good time. Somebody said the best behaved dogs is the tired dog. So he was tired. But anyway, while we were there, there was a lady there, and she had three Labradors, and the Labradors were running all over. Cheryl, you would appreciate that. Labradors know how to play like Labradors. They're running all over the place, having a great time. But to be cordial, I asked the lady, I said, what her name was, and she told me, and she asked my name, and with my accent, you know what followed. Why did you come to Australia? If 99% of the time when they hear the accent, that's what I get. Then I went on and explained, that I am a pastor of a church and a chaplain in aged care. And generally, after I say that, the conversation is over. It's like I've got leprosy. People run and hide. But not this lady. She said, oh, well, just to let you know, I'm not religious. And I looked at her and said, just to let you know, I'm not religious either. You think I have her attention? So I went on to explain. This doesn't take 20 seconds to do. And I explained. You see, religion is man trying to reach God. Christianity is when God reached down to man. Then we went on. I wish I could claim that was my original comment, but I can't. That's from Bill Hybels. He said, when you know that you've got 30 seconds or less, you got to say something. And that's a good one. Just remember, Christianity is when God reached us. Religion is whoever's trying to reach God. So anyway, we went on. And only God knows the response from that, okay? Now, let me ask you, did God need me? Probably not. But the point is, God will use those who are interested in the ministry of reconciliation. He will use those who are interested in the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because that's what He saved us to do. But like I said, sometimes you've got to have something that you can share in 30 seconds because that's all you've got in a lot of cases. You're doing just a little bit of groundwork for maybe the future or even for somebody else. But you see, it begins to work. So where do we go from there other than just having a real quick comment? What happens if you've already had similar conversations with somebody three or four or five times and you've been developing a relationship? Where do you go from there in sharing your faith? Well, I'm going to share with you four things that will help us in our faith today. First, you ask God to give you an evangelistic burden for others. You know what? People pretty much do what they have a passion for doing. Keep that in mind. People do what they have a passion or desire to do. And if you ask God to give you an evangelistic burden to lead people to Christ, then you're going to do it and expect God to give you that burden. Unfortunately, most church people believe it's the pastor and the elders and the teacher's responsibility to lead others to Christ. Not so. If you are a born-again believer today, you were saved to share your faith. Point blank. Point blank. So it's all of our responsibilities. Now, I'm going to let you in a little personal experience or secret that I've gained from experience. You ready for this? You will never, ever do anything more exciting as a Christian than lead somebody else to the Lord. Nothing else comes close. I mean, you get in the middle of an evangelistic presentation, you just feel the heart going boom, 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 boom. Yeah, let's go now. Just don't start going, da, 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 da. You know, don't do that. Just stay calm. Don't hyperventilate. But you will never do anything more exciting than leading somebody else to Christ in your Christian life. So folks, that's pretty good motivation. And if you want to see God blow the roof off of our church, start leading people to Christ and bringing them into church, and God will light a fire in our church that will shine all over this community. I mean, what happens to a family when a new baby comes into the family? My goodness, even grown, educated adults start talking like babies. But it brings excitement and energy into a family. You want the Lord to excite this church? Start leading folks to Christ and see what happens in this church. I challenge you to do that. Oh, after all, you know, the Bible says that the angels throw a party when somebody gets saved. Why shouldn't we? I mean, let's not sit around. Let's throw a party. Let's celebrate. Up in Gladstone, when we had a baptism, we'd go out to the lake and we'd have, you know, talk about a party followed by a barbecue, obviously. But we'd have a great time with our baptisms. I mean, we had a baptism here. We had a great time. Folks, we need to enjoy those things. I better go on. So ask the Lord to give you an evangelistic burden. Second, live a consistent life before people. Live a consistent Christian life before people. Remember what Jesus said? We talked about last week. He said, I'm the light of the world. Then he said, you're the light of the world. So our life is a consistent light to people. And remember the statistic we looked at a month or so ago also, that the majority of modern Australians, the majority are willing to change their belief system if they see a good example of faith in someone. The majority of modern Australians. But they want to see somebody who's real and passionate about what they believe. That's modern Australians. Survey done this year. All right? So we need to live a consistent Christian life before people. Thirdly, we need to consciously build bridges to others. And what that means is, when God shows you somebody that needs to be saved, you don't grab the Romans road and go over and try to lead them to the Lord then. What you need to do is start building bridges and start developing relationships with that people, with that person, to win the right to share your faith. Remember, they could care less what you know until they know how much you care. So it takes a little bit of groundwork. See, Jesus did that. Remember Zacchaeus? Jesus came along and he saw Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to go to your house to eat tonight. So this was one appointment. Then he moves on to a second appointment and he went over for tea. Zacchaeus come to Christ. Because Jesus, see, it's a lot quicker for Jesus. He is the Son of God, though, yeah. But Zacchaeus came to him. But we got to build relationships with people before we can share our faith. Now, unfortunately, most Christians could not name five unsaved people that you have a very close relationship with. And that's sad. Why? Well, firstly, because maybe we don't want to hang out with people who think differently than we do. You'll not find Jesus doing that. Secondly, it could be that we don't have a desire to lead people to the Lord, and we're just not going to do it. Thirdly, could be that you don't know how to lead people to Christ. So what do we do? Where do we start? Well, the first thing is this. How many Christians do we have? Now wave your hand at me. If you're a Christian, you have a story. That's your story. Nobody in this world can tell your story like you can tell your story. So your main weapon in sharing your faith is telling your story. Because if it means anything to you, you're going to be excited or passionate about sharing your story. That's called real. That's what really breaks into relationships. Share your story. Now, let me say this. If you do not have a story about being saved, then you need to get saved so you'll have a story. If you're not a Christian and you don't have the Holy Spirit on your side, I don't like your chances at evangelism. We do need the Holy Spirit helping us. But the beautiful thing is, He's there for Christians. He's there. So, if you have a story, now we need to do a little homework. So we're going to be a class here just a second. Ready for homework? If you have a handout, then you will have 5 verses listed. And we're going to talk about those verses that you need to know. Obviously, we need to know John 3:16. Everybody got that one? Say it for me. There you go. And that's an important one. I didn't put that down because you already know it. But now here's another one that you need to know. For all, this is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You ever been talking to somebody and they come up and say, well, you know, I'm really not a bad sinner. You know, I really haven't done all those bad sins. You ever heard that? Well, how bad sin is bad? When you're talking about a holy God, how bad do you have to be? You know? It's clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, think about this. When you have been befriending somebody and you want to pull that verse out and tell them they're sinners, I'm going to give you a point here. Don't miss this. Include yourself. You willing to do that? So listen, mate, you know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that includes me. You know what? I've blown it so many times, I've lost count. I can't count too high anyway. But, you know, I'm a sinner, but you know what? God saved me. And that's the way it is with everybody, for all have sinned. Please include yourself, or you come across hypocritical and pharisaical. Don't do that. Don't do that. So first, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The next one, because we sin, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everybody here can explain what a wage is, right? It's something we are given because of our work we do or what we do. It's something that we earn. And if we're sinners, we have earned death in God's eyes. Now, you may lose some people on that one. And you say, you can even use the comment and say, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the research that I've done, you know, human mortality is still 100%. We're all going to die, right? It's because we're sinners. And the wage of sin is death. But you see, there's hope. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. Now, all of sin, the wage of sin is death, sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? But God did something. Look at the next verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? If you're talking to somebody and said, even though don't point your finger. Even though I was a sinner, and boy, I tell you what, we're not going to talk about some of the things I've done. But even though I'm a sinner, God loved me so much that he made a way for me. And I'm grateful for that. And then tell the person you're talking to, and he made a way for you. God directed his love that towards us, even though we're still sinners, Christ died. And I would even use the illustration, I've got a son, and I'll be honest with you, there's nobody I'm going to give my son's life for. I'm just selfish that way. But God loved me so much that he gave his son to die and suffer for me. He did it for you. You may have somebody's attention there. Oh, by the way, if you've got this far in your conversation, you're getting close. Boom, 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 the heart starts thumping. You're saying, oh, I hope I don't mess it up now. You're getting close. So what if the person comes up and says, all right, I want to get saved. I want this for my life. You don't want to sit there and go, you know, the old kangaroo in the light. There's another verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, I make it personal. I'll say, you know what this means to me? For when Tony Sullivan shall call on the name of the Lord, Tony Sullivan shall be saved. And then I tag it with this question. Do you want this for your life? And then be quiet. Might get a little nerve-wracking as it gets quiet. But you've asked him for a response. Well, what if they say yes? What do you do then? Romans chapter 10. Let's go over there. The Apostle Paul tells how we're saved. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved. There you go. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. With the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is what I'll follow up and say. Now, the Bible says, if you believe that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again, you can be saved. Do you believe that? Ask them. Most people will say, yes, I believe that. Then I'll say, well, you just got one more step. Now you just not need to say it. Do you believe that? If they say yes, then I'll ask them at that point, would you do me a favor? I want you to tell God what you want. In just any way that you can. Just tell God what you want him to do for you. And often in a stammering or nervous prayer, people join the family of God right there. Oh, they got to repent. No, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. And then if they pray that prayer, and believe me, it's probably not going to be our Heavenly Father. It's going to be, God, I don't know what to do here, but the Bible says if I pray and ask you to save me, you will. Well, I believe Jesus, will you save me? And guess what happens? They start getting the party ready in heaven because another sinner has come home. You see how excited, I get in chills even talking about it. And then my conversation changes. I can begin to use the words brother and sister. Saying, you know what? You're my brother or sister in Christ now. We're part of the great family of God. It means we're going to live forever together. Isn't that exciting? And then I bow and pray myself. And I thank God for saving this person and making them part of our eternal family. Really welcome them in, telling God how much you appreciate you, Him saving them. That's what God saved us to do. Right there. And all we've done is used five verses. It's commonly known as the Romans Road. Matter of fact, the Gideons were here today. Their little Bible. You go to the back side of it. Right there are the verses. So folks, it was meant that you guys were here today. Because I wouldn't have had a Gideon's Bible. But right here in the little Gideon's New Testament, they even have what's called the Soul Winner's New Testament. So they have all the verses there listed. It's right there in front of you. You can carry that in your pocket or your purse or whatever. Oh, something to keep in mind. What happens if it all falls apart along the way? What happens if, believe me, like I said, just like we've experienced, there'll be distractions, the baby will start crying, the dogs will start barking, there'll be an earthquake or a plane will fall from the air or something like that, you know. But whatever the devil can do to distract you from doing that, he will do it. That's why it's good if you're going to go purposely to lead somebody to Christ, you need somebody with you. And all they're doing, they're just keeping the devil at bay in prayer. While you're talking to these people. Because believe me, he's there. God's working, devil's going to be working. You just need to stay focused. Let the person with you pray. But if it all falls apart, remember this. Leave the results up to God. I'm going to close with two stories. There was a man one time by the name of Don. He'd come to me. He was interested in getting saved, started coming to church. I started talking to him. I just happened to have one of Billy Graham's tracts on how to get saved. Good little tract, very clean, easy to understand. Went through the plan of salvation. On the back side of it says, if you want this for your life, sign your name. I gave it to Don and said, would you do that? He said, yes, I'll think about it. 2 days later, he came to me and gave me that piece of paper, and he opened it up. And he said, look, he had signed his name. I said, so you believe that? He said, yes. Welcome, my brother. But there's another guy by the name of Sam that wasn't quite so easy. He and I argued. Yes, he loved to argue, and I do too. For 3 years. 3 years. He was half deaf and I'm half deaf, so we'd scream at each other. finally, I just threw my hands up and said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. Lord, I'm sorry. I've done all I can do. And it's almost like the Lord said, I'm glad you got out of the way. I'm going to do it now. 2 days later, I saw this guy. He was in his mid-90s with tears in his eyes. He said, God showed himself to me. I went, I had to get out of the way for God to do the work. There's nothing more exciting in the Christian life than leading people to Christ. Nothing. Zero. Nothing even comes close. So folks, we know what we're supposed to do as Christians now. Oh, one more thing. Once you lead them to Christ, your job is just beginning. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. The first step is leading them to the Lord. Then it's discipleship, a consistent investing in their lives with your life and with the Scripture, and teach them the things that Jesus said. That's what it's all about. But then you're supposed to baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them. I challenge you. Pray and ask God to give you a burden for evangelism. It'll be the most exciting and nerve-wracking thing you've ever done. But if you want to see God light a fire at War Hope Baptist Church, that will not go out. You start leading folks to Christ and just watch the embers begin to glow. Sound good? All right. Please stand. Let's pray. Father, I am so glad that you have given us the opportunity to lead others into the kingdom. You've given us that responsibility, but the most amazing thing is you showed us how, and you've given us your Holy Spirit that works in people's lives continuously, sometimes in the middle of the night when we're not there. You can use the simple words that we say that begins breaking down barriers in their life where they come to you. Father, I pray that you would light the fire of evangelism in all of our lives. Father, use us for that ministry of reconciliation that will make the difference in people's lives. And we know when we do that, we'll be doing what Jesus did. Father, we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Have any questions? Let me know.